Fearless Conversations, the Servants and Doves podcast with Pablo Frisini.
What is going on, everybody? It is so good to be back. Woo! Man, that was a weirdy bug. Got to tell everybody. Even though at the remnants that I still have a little... I actually think with whatever it is that we got, I sound more like a real DJ. Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome back to this edition. Right? That kind of sounds cool, but anyways, listen, I'm excited. I really, really am excited. What do you guys think of the title? Huh? You know, for anybody that has no idea what cow chips are, I would encourage you to do a quick little search on what cow chips are, and you'll see what it is, all right? But anyways, listen, family, before I move on anywhere, before we get rolling, because I got to tell you, I have no clue where this is all going to end up, how this is all going to come together. Maybe it's a one part. Maybe it's a 30 part. I don't know, because so much could come just from this series alone. And I'm cool with that. I'm excited. It's not an easy subject, right, to deliver, but it's a necessary one. It is a necessary one. So listen, before we get started, first and foremost, this is the last podcast of 2023. To say that this was a crazy year is an understatement. But this is not going to be a look back at 2023. Let's sit down. Let's cover everything we already saw. I'm sure there's someone out there that's going to be doing that. Go for it. Go watch whatever there's. I don't want to. To me, there's really no need to go back and revisit what is a big fat pile of steamy cow chips. Another big pile of steamy cow chips. I don't want to do that. So if you want to go watch that somewhere else, by all means, do it. You know, God didn't give us eyes in the back of our head. So in regards to the things that happened this year, I'm not going to do that. But anyways, what we are going to do is we're going to look forward to see what God has in store for us. 2024, folks, we still have a handful of days left. Family, who knows? Maybe we'll be Happy New Year in the presence of Lord God Almighty. What an amazing year that would be. And if not, we're still here. God has work for us to do. So we must put the plow to the field and get crank-a-lagging, shall we? So we're just going to get crank-a-lagging. So, family, look, without further ado, I want to go ahead and just, again, get on over here. Put your email there. Subscribe to the newsletter. You won't be sorry. New year, new things. And that's all I got to say about that. That's all I got to say about that. That was a note to Forrest Gump. And then the Serpents and Doves website, not much has changed. Oh, well, c'est la vie. I got a million things that I'm working on. There it is. Folks, I would encourage you guys to go there. And if you want to get your hands on the gospel cards, I have them both in English and Spanish. Please, by all means, do so. And listen, if you really feel led by the Lord, if you want to come alongside and help, even with a one-time donation, you could do so just by clicking up at the very top of the website right here. There is a one-time, there are the different methods. If you feel led to come alongside and partner with me and Serpents and Doves to help me continue the work, you could do so also on a monthly basis, which would be a huge, huge blessing, especially coming into the new year. I can't tell you just how much that means and that helps. Enough of that. All right. Now, folks, listen. I don't know where I'm going to end up here. I really, really don't. I did a quick. I mean, it was what, 25, 28 minutes on. I just barely scratched the surface on this topic, this new fad, shall I say, of deconstructing your faith. It's really nothing new. It's nothing new. It's just that, I guess, within evangelicalism, we like our cute little terms, right? Our little, whatever you want to call them. Some of us have Christianese terms, and I'm not too big on those, but so we call it deconstruction now, even though it comes from a literary, it's meaning deconstruction of literature, critical analysis of literature. Well, we've taken it, borrowed it, and we've used it for deconstructing your faith. Now, like I said, maybe this will be just a one part. I don't know. Maybe I don't think so, because as I've been studying, I've been reading, I've been watching people's videos. Wow, my mind went in a million different directions. So many places to go. And we're only going to look at a couple of folks, even though there are a million. And maybe I'll add more later on. I trust me when I tell you that I have just countless hours of videos and clips, and we could sit here and watch and talk. And like I said, there's so many places we could go. I think what I want to do now is approach this topic of deconstruction. And I think I'm, hold on, before I continue, I think I said this on the 28-minute the 28-minute video that I did. If you haven't seen it, go ahead. My voice sounded by far worse. By the way, for those that have been praying for recovery, I can't tell you just how much that means. I'm almost there, but this one just rocked us, man. It was a weirdy. But everything is weirdy nowadays. I don't think there's anything that's not weirdy. So, by the way, I got to give a shout out to my lovely wife and my son who handpicked this super cool cardigan. And I love it, right? Like a handful of episodes ago, I felt like Mr. Rogers. Go Mr. Rogers. I used to watch Mr. Rogers all the time. And maybe I was the only one. Tell me if I was the only one, but every time the camera would pan out and you'd hear the theme song of Mr. Rogers, I was always looking to see where he was. Lo and behold, it's a little model. And, well, we'll just leave it at that. You know, wasn't the sharpest knife in the kitchen drawer. But anyways, I digress. So look, there are so many different places we could go. I'm going to summarize this whole notion before we continue of deconstructing your faith by saying that, listen, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. We just like repackaging old things and just calling it something new. But at the end of the day, it's deception, period. And didn't Jesus Christ say that one of the markers of the end times was going to be deception? Take heed that no one deceives you. This is the very first thing that Jesus told his disciples. You could see that in Matthew chapter 24, Luke 21, Mark chapter 13. And if Jesus said, take heed, that means, hey, make sure that you are fully aware. Be aware. Be on high alert that no one, and I'll go ahead and add, or no thing deceives you. Because we all know that the enemy wants nothing more than to deceive the masses. And boy, is he doing a good job at that. He sure is. I think I did mention that the enemy has unfortunately seeped into the church. And the church has, by and large, done nothing. And I, again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, so please forgive me if I do. But if I don't remind us that it all boils down to the church, not the building, the body of Christ. Each one of us has different responsibilities, different giftings, but we're all part of the same body, right? And I'll just go out and say, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, the body of Christ is sick, very, very sick. And when a body, B-O-D-Y, physical body is sick, when you're under the weather, you can't perform. You cannot do your natural day-to-day activities, jobs, responsibilities in the way that you would if your body was healthy. That's just it. It's a matter of fact. That is a fact. And the sicker the body gets, the more bedridden and rigor mortis the body becomes. Immobile, there is no mobility, there is no activity until what happens? If the disease persists, if it continues, if there is no healing, if there is no restoration, you and I all know where it ends up. Dead. Dead as a doornail. Right? 6 feet underground, pushing up daisies 6 feet underground. And what good is it then? It's good for nothing. And so, as I've said before, and I know that there are a lot of people that don't like to hear it, but it's necessary that we take heed. The church is sick. And because the church is sick, it is not doing its proper job. It is ailing in the responsibility that God has given it. So back to the notion of deconstruction. It is nothing new. I'm going to read a little portion really quick from Ecclesiastes. Now, we all know, right? Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon. You're talking about the wisest man that ever lived. Not talking about Jesus Christ, man, meaning sinful man that ever lived. Solomon was the wisest one. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, we see a type of deconstruction. And if there is any one thorough deconstruction, if anybody wants any one great example of what deconstruction looks like, and eventually what the conclusion is, please go and read the book of Ecclesiastes. I would really, really highly encourage you to. It's a great book, and it's only 12 chapters long. It's not that long. But again, if you really want a good picture of what it looks like to question everything, and unfortunately, in this day and age, they're calling it deconstruction. A lot of these people must have missed Ecclesiastes, because I guarantee you that 99.99999% of every question anybody's ever thrown is answered by Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. What does Solomon say in the book of Ecclesiastes? I'm going to read it for everybody. I mean, we can go on here on Bible Gateway. That way you guys can all read it with me. Let me get over there. So this is what Solomon said, opening chapter of Ecclesiastes. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes. But the earth abides forever. goes on to say, the sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose, right? Cyclical. The wind goes toward the south, turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and it comes again on its circuit. Solomon goes on to describe what he called vanity. Like what I just said, like it's cyclical. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. And he starts talking about grief. And he goes on in chapter 2. And let's go. Let's check chapter 2. Let's see what some of these titles are. Because I want everybody to see what some of these titles are in the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of pleasure. So he said, I'm going to try it all. The end of the wise and the fool. Everything has its time. The God-given task. The uselessness of self-toil. The vanity of selfish toil. Selfish toil. The value of a friend. Popularity passes away. And he goes on and on and on and on. But let me show you what his conclusion was. At the very end, I'm going to blow it for whoever hasn't read the book of Ecclesiastes. Let me go down here and show you what the last two verses of the book of Ecclesiastes are. And this, everybody, was Solomon's conclusion to the matter. He says, the last two verses, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, the last 12 chapters. Let me tell you what I'm going to say. This is my conclusion. After doing everything, after not sparing myself any lust of the flesh, after doing everything I so desired in my heart, after deconstructing, this is what Solomon concludes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring what? Every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So at the end of the day, no matter where people think they go with this whole notion of deconstruction, the wisest man that ever walked planet Earth, Solomon, said, fear God and do what? And keep his commandments. I'm sure it's, again, this cyclical. It's like, now I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to search. I'm going to just live it up. And what happened? Just back to square one. Realize, you know what? I'm throwing my hands up in there and go, God is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. But Satan will not stop when somebody begins their journey, and please, for those that are listening via the podcast and can't see what I'm doing, I've got to remember that. I'm using air quotes, okay? This journey, air quotes. Be careful, because that is something that Satan will use to his advantage. I don't know if many of you have heard of a gentleman by the name of Charles Templeton. I'm going to go ahead and close these two windows. Charles Templeton used to be an evangelist, talking about early to mid-1900s. Big time evangelist. He wasn't some little tiny no-name evangelist. Charles Templeton was an evangelist somewhere between 30s, 40s. Maybe sometime in the 50s. Yeah, 50s as well. I'm going to read to you a bit about his life really quick. Charles Templeton was born in Canada. After he quit his first job, which was he was a cartoonist. More power to the illustrators. Total side note here. I don't consider myself an illustrator. I consider myself an illustracer. I like to put together my reference material, and then I kind of trace over it and make it my own. There's a little secret of mine. But anyways, Charles Templeton was a cartoonist. He quit his job, but he converted, again, air quotes, converted, air quotes, please. Don't miss the air quotes. Okay, when we're reading these things, we've got to remember to read these keywords. They're big. He converted to Christianity while working as a cartoonist. In 1936, Charles Templeton, he became a preacher. So after he quit his first job, Templeton became a mass evangelist. That's what he did. That is what he dedicated at that time his life to do. From 1936 to 1938, he toured the U.S. and preached in 44 states. So to say that Charles Templeton was busy evangelizing was an understatement. In 2 years, he covered 44 states. He was a top evangelist. I would probably venture to say that Charles Templeton at that time was the top evangelist. Not only was he known here, stateside Canada, he was internationally known as the evangelist. In 1941, Charles Templeton started the Nazarene Avenue Road Church. He was a preacher. And in 55, he became the Presbyterian Church in the United States' Secretary of Evangelism. So to say that this dude was vested, to say that this guy was all in, right? We've heard that. We're all in. Is, again, an understatement. I'm going to play you a little clip. I know this video is going to get, copyright. Anyways, because I'm using a clip of a movie. I want to play you a clip of a movie called Billy. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Obviously, it skips a lot. I know I've gotten a whole lot of grief, too, from people for liking Billy Graham. Listen, folks. We got to stop picking on each other like that for these little things. Come on, Billy Graham did a lot of good work for the Lord. Yes, Billy Graham probably should have retired way before he retired because, unfortunately, he's open foot, insert mouth a whole lot of times. Okay, I'll recognize that. But for us to say that, you know, he did bad things, no, he did some good. He did a lot of good stuff. Sure, there's a lot of good people that were influenced by Billy Graham's preaching. And it wasn't Billy Graham. It was the Holy Spirit working through him and through the words that he said, came to know Jesus Christ. And the work that these people have gone on to do in their own countries is something you and I might never know this side of heaven. So I've read his biography, his autobiography. I've read other biographies. I've done artwork on Billy Graham. So I know America's pastor. Charles Templeton and Billy Graham were great friends. They were the best of friends. They were the best of friends. What's crazy about Charles Templeton is that he struggled with doubts about his Christianity, especially during the time of World War II. The little clip that I'm going to play really quick. You're going to see what I'm talking about. I think this was a pinnacle. Unfortunately, he became an agnostic. He walked away. He deconverted. Again, folks, for those of you listening to me, to the podcast on Apple, Google, or Spotify, I use air quotes. When I say air quotes, you know what I mean. He became an agnostic. He walked away from the Lord, which again begs the question, was he ever really converted to Christianity? Air quotes. No, he wasn't. In that 25 or 28 minute little video, I mentioned that once you are somebody's child, you can never become unchilded from them. I know that's not a word. Don't write me in that I'm using improper English. I get it. But at the same time, I don't know if there's a word from that. And why doesn't it exist? Because it's an impossibility. When your parents' DNA is part of your makeup, it is ingrained in the deoxyribonucleic acid of each person. You cannot take that away. It is the fingerprint of your parents both inside of you. And so you cannot become unchilded from your parents. In like manner, when you become a child of the living God, meaning when you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, truly surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that everything's going to be peachy king and that you might not have doubts about certain things and wrestle through those and take them and set them at the foot of the cross and get into the Bible and have moments where you're angry at the Lord, because if I said you wouldn't have that, I'd be a liar, because I've had that myself. I think one of the things that we are not doing good in the church is being honest. I'm going to be flat out honest, as if I'm not honest with you already, family. I hate it, H-A-T-E, when I hear speakers or a pastor go up there and make it sound as if they were only sinful before they came to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is a bunch of baloney. All right? That is a bunch of baloney. The Bible says that we sin 7 times in one day. I mean, 7 is a conservative number. Right? Man, sometimes I feel like I'm constantly going before the throne of God Almighty and going, Lord, I blew it again. I know I was just here 30 seconds ago, and here I am again, Lord. I might as well just stay here. And that's what the Lord wants. But listen, folks, that's part of the Christian life, right? The whole point of having our shield is so that we could block, deflect, protect ourselves against the fiery darts of the enemy. Those fiery darts oftentimes come in the form of doubt. And if we don't have a shield, guess what? You're toast. You are toast. Right? Not a good thing. Oh, man. I know I'm trying to. I got to keep it light. I got to keep it light. One way that I could keep it light
is I do this. If I change my voice, everybody thinks it's funny.
But listen, at the end of the day, as much as I would love this to just be all fun and games, it's not. It's not. And as we ebb closer to the close, the culmination of church history, I think we're going to start seeing a whole lot more of this. Now, I'd love to show you guys my notes. I mean, I've got notes written forwards, backwards. I think I mentioned to everybody just how much I love being unscripted. I love it. I love shooting from the hip. I don't think there's anything wrong with just kind of jotting your thoughts down, but that's just the way I am. That's the way that this podcast rolls. You're going to see a whole lot more of that come 2024 if the Lord should tarry. And that's okay. That's just the way I roll. But one thing that as I was studying, and I'll play that clip of Chuck. You know what? I'll tell you what. Before I continue, I think it would be a good place for us right here to play that clip of Chuck Templeton. So let me go ahead and play that. I'll come back. We'll kind of chit chat about it. There are so many clips that I want to play of Lecrae. So many clips that I want to play of Rhett and Link. For those of you that might not know who Rhett and Link are, they run a show, very, very popular, very, very popular YouTube show called Good Mystical Morning, I believe it is, something along those lines. And from what I've been reading, from what I've been looking at and watching videos, and we are going to see a couple clips of Lecrae, so don't mind you, just hang tight, is the fact that they used to be, again, air quotes, Christians, air quotes, right? I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. So, listen, let me go ahead and play that clip for you guys. And I do want to get into the Lecrae. This show might be a little longer, so bear with me, folks. I've been trying to keep these to 50 minutes, maybe an hour. This one might go longer, so I hope you guys are okay with it. If it's too long, just stop it wherever you want to stop it. Come back later, watch it. I guess statistics are that if you turn it off, you don't come back to it. That's up to you guys. That's beyond my control. But, you know, they also say, you know, I've read this a million times. Total rabbit trail. Okay, rabbit trail alert. Rabbit trail alert. I've read a billion times that if you don't tell your subscribers to subscribe and to like the video, they're not going to do it. And I've read articles that said your audience is dumb. That's exactly what they've said. Listen, family, I don't buy that one iota. I did say, hey, listen, if you guys want to subscribe, look, at the end of the day, I love my online family. I think articles are stupid, especially those that talk that way. If you want to, great. If you don't want to, I don't care. That's really the way I feel about it. If you want to like it, great. If you don't want to like it, hey, that's cool too. I don't care. Why? Because I'm going to tell you guys right now, and I'm going to be up front, especially before we start the new year. The Lord has really ministered to me and has really posed a question. Why are you doing these things? Are you doing these things to gain notoriety, to get more subscribers, to get more likes? Or are you doing this for me and you're going to leave the results up to me? Hey, you know what? I think I'm going to take option B. I'd rather leave the results up to God. I love doing these things. I love you guys. I've interacted with so many of you. I love your heart. And so whatever happens, happens. But at the end of the day, what I have to bring to you guys is what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart to bring to you guys. And so some of you guys might like it. Some of it may make some people feel very uncomfortable. That's not my intention, family. That's not my intention. My intention is just to present this stuff to you guys. And if you like it, great. If you don't like it, that's beyond my control. And I have to be okay with that. So I'm not going to tell you sub. I'm not going to tell you like, because that's not what this is about. Honestly, I'm being honest with you. Because if that's what it's about, I wouldn't have deleted my old channel with all the headaches that YouTube gave me. Praise God for the fact that He is relentless in His pursuit towards each one of us. And I'm just being flat out honest with you guys that I just want to share my heart and leave the results up to God. But I would love to hear from you. That I love. I love the interaction. When I can respond, I do. These last 2 weeks have been so hairy. With me being under the weather, my family being under the weather, it's been really, really difficult. I've just been floored, tired, exhausted, but God is good. And I know, rabbit trail, but I wanted to tell you guys that. Not going to do that. All right, back to what we were talking about. Love you guys. I pray this year would be a wonderful year. I really, really do. I'm trusting in the Lord. Nothing's happening that is catching the Lord by surprise. It's not like the Lord sitting in heaven and going, oh myself. Oh, what's happening down there on planet Earth? I didn't know that they were doing that. Oh, look at that. No, He's not aloof. He's not distant. Everything that's happening is all according to God's perfect prophetic plan. I want everybody to understand that. Everything that's happening right now is happening all according to God's perfect prophetic plan. None of this is catching God by surprise. None of it. And I want us to be hopeful and our hope is in Christ, that no matter what happens, God has our best interest at mind and he has us in the palm of his hand. So praise God for that. Okay, enough of that. I am off my rabbit trail now, back to what we're going to talk about. So forgive me if I did, all right? Forgive me. Listen, let me play that clip and we'll come back and we'll talk about it. So Charles Templeton, this is a clip from the movie Billy. If you haven't seen it, it's with Armie Hammer. It's a good movie. It leaves out a lot, unfortunately, because if you want to fill in the blanks, you're going to have to get Billy Graham's autobiography and read it. But here we go. This is clip number one.
You see, people no longer accept the Bible as being divinely inspired. There are too many inconsistencies, lapses, lacunae. How could any of us presume that a document written by men is the sacrosanct, inalienable word of God? It is a fairy tale.
Two thousand years ago, the Bible prophesied that God would gather his chosen people from the four corners and reunite them in their homeland. And
God didn't create the state of Israel. Man did. The UN did. After 6 million Jews, God's own chosen people, were burnt and gassed in the ovens of Hitler. 6 million people, Billing, all praying to their God to be spared, and not one prayer answered. Is that your loving God? Can you find his face in the ovens of Auschwitz, Billy, or the firestorms of Nagasaki, or the bombs of Dresden? I'm asking you, how could a loving God have done that?
Charles, God didn't do that. Man did.
Well, then he permitted it. Didn't he stood by, and you're out there, Billy. You're out there preaching the good news. What good news?
It's the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten.
Billy, I believe that Jesus is the most perfect moral being in the history of the world. I believe that Jesus is the greatest teacher in the history of Western civilization. And I believe that Jesus is the purest example of all that is good in mankind. And I do not believe that he is the Son of God. He's the son of a man. I feel sorry for you, Billy. What you call faith? It is the death of intellect.
Did you get that last part? What you call faith is the death of intellect. Actually, I'd have to interrupt here, Mr. Chuck Templeton, and tell you quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. The Apostle Paul, my friend, was quite the intellect. Smart man, wouldn't you say, Pablo? Actually, I would agree with you, Sean Connery. The Apostle Paul was a very bright man. And look at the things he accomplished because he did what? He surrendered his life, everything, to Jesus Christ. To surrender it all to Jesus Christ is not intellectual suicide. Quite the opposite, family. For those that do not surrender, it is all suicide in the sense of spiritual, eternal, intellectual, emotional, you fill in the blanks. Pretty sad that a man like Charles Templeton, very, very smart, very, very studied, left Christianity. But the question really is, was he ever a Christian? And to be really honest with you guys, no, he was not. He was not. I don't believe he was. Unfortunately, because like I said, you can't become a child of God and walk away from being a child of God. Listen, yes, there are wayward children. There are prodigals. We have an illustration of that in Scripture, right? Great song by Benny Hester called When God Ran. I can't sing it because my voice is still kind of a little shot. Great voice if you haven't, great song if you haven't heard it, I would highly encourage you. But are there prodigals? Oh, yeah. I think way too many, unfortunately. A lot of that has to do with the church as well. I'm not going to get into it. But do those prodigals cease from being children of their parents? They do not. They don't. And the whole notion of a prodigal is that the prodigal returns. We see that in Scripture. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of families that are hurting because their kids have walked away from the faith. But those that come back were truly part of the family of God, meaning they truly had surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. To those that were maybe going through the motions of Christianity, Sunday school, youth camp, whatever you want, you can fill in the blank, but they end up walking away and never to return. To me, that says that. Now, I say never to return, but what I mean is when I say never, never ends with the last breath that they draw on this side of eternity. Okay? Don't miss what I just said. Nobody is too far from redemption for the Lord. Nobody is. That is until they draw and they exhale their last breath here on earth and they enter into the realm of eternity. At that point, it is too late. If that said individual never came back to the Lord in complete and total surrender to Jesus Christ and made him Lord and Savior of their life, at that moment, it is too late. And what comes for them is a second death. For the believer, for those that surrender to Jesus Christ, there are two births and one death. You guys have to think about this. There are two births, one death. For those that never come to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, whoever that is, whether they say they've deconstructed or they've de-churched or de-Christianized, whatever it is, if they draw that last breath without proclaiming Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they were born one time, but they will die two deaths. I hope you guys understood what I just said. You do not want to be a part of that great white throne judgment. And that is a subject for another podcast, which I can't get into right now. But that was the story of Charles Templeton. So deconstruction goes way, way back. But there is a difference between supposedly, air quotes, walking away from your faith, as you will hear Rhett talk about. I have de-churched. I have de-Christianized. I'm no longer a Christian. When you hear that, there's a difference between walking away completely, turning your back, as I've shown you here how Charles Templeton, how sad, because it was head knowledge, not heart knowledge. Right? They say that the difference between heaven and hell is 18 inches. I had a ruler somewhere around here, but I don't want to get up and go get it all the way over there. I might have one in this drawer. Let me see if I do. I do, but this one's only 12 inches. 12 inches. But they say that the difference between heaven and hell is 18 inches because that's the distance between your mind, if this was 18 inches, and your heart. It's one thing to have head knowledge. Paul had head knowledge when he was Saul. And it is a whole nother thing to have heart knowledge. Paul had heart knowledge, true saving knowledge of Jesus Christ when he became Paul on the road to Damascus. What an amazing experience. And look at the difference between head knowledge, between Paul, we see that example in scripture, and then we see heart knowledge. I'm sorry, Saul, head knowledge, Paul, heart knowledge. Wow. What a life lived. I wonder what Paul's life would be like this side of the modern world, present day. Would he be like a Billy Graham, living lavish, meaning lavish? When I say lavish, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And there's nothing wrong with having a beautiful house. There's nothing wrong with going on wonderful vacation. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not what I'm saying. But there is a difference, and I think most of you would agree that the Western evangelist lives very different than I'm sure Paul did, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you agree? Right? I'm going to read the comments. I'll try to read as many as I can. If I can respond, I will. But don't you think? You know, I would like to, that's one thing I am going to ask. I love the interaction. So if you guys want to comment, please, whether you're on Rumble, whether you're on YouTube, whether you're on Apple, Google, Spotify, it doesn't matter. When you get a chance, comment below. You see where I'm getting, right? Paul was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned, left for dead, right? When he was shipwrecked, he was out in the water for days. I mean, he was whipped, what, 3 times? And I wonder, the modern day evangelist, and I guess that's where I was getting at, right? They stay in really nice hotels. There's nothing wrong with taking care of the evangelist. I don't see anything wrong. You guys do see where I'm going, right? There's a stark difference between the evangelist then and the evangelist now. In the Western world now, go to a place like China or India or North Korea or Iran, Pakistan. Go be an evangelist there, and it's a whole nother story. It looks a whole lot more like what Paul experienced. And so it's almost like there's these two worlds that we're seeing. I want to read to you because when I hear these stories of deconstruction, I don't hear them from anybody in those countries, the persecuted countries. I don't. I haven't. Every single story that I've read comes from a Westerner. Now, maybe there are some. I don't know. But you're talking about people that are going through heavy persecution, and they do not shy away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't question it. They study it. They embrace it. They live it. I don't think we're going to be able to get to the Lecrae. So there is going to be a part two. We're already almost at 50 minutes. I'll tell you what. And I can't. I can't play because if I do, I'm going to rush it. I don't know. If I have time, I might give you guys a little taste of it. Just a little. All right. But let me go over here and play clip number 2. I think it was. This is Rhett and Link. Let's hear what they got to say.
I approach these, the first one and the second one and now the third one, I approach these with a certain amount of trepidation because what I have found is many of the things that I say during these podcasts are then...
Soundbited?
Soundbited across the internet through multiple platforms for people by people who agree with me and people who don't agree with me. And so as I... calculate. I end up writing down quite a lot that I want to get to because I'm trying to calculate what I'm going to say because it will either be used against me or. And so as I calculate, I end up writing down quite a lot that I want to get to because I'm trying to calculate what I'm going to say because it will either be used against me or...
Now, Rhett here is talking about putting this up. He approaches it with trepidation. He's cautious because he knows people will take sound bites of it. Well, let me just say a big emphatic duh. And you'll be able to wear that pretty soon because I'm going to do the t-shirt. I did them already with a big duh on it. That's like a total duh statement. You cannot expect to talk about these things and for someone, case in point, like myself, to take one of the sound bites and to put it up and not have a discussion about it. Why? Why is it? He said, because it could be used against me. Listen, he's already condemning himself before God Almighty. I didn't say it. John 3:18 says it. And before you go on and you say that I'm being judgmental, let's keep listening to what he's got to say.
Two years ago, we talked about all of our spirituality leading up to the present day, including our spiritual deconstruction from the white evangelical church, to be very... specific about it.
Some people think, oh, so 2 years ago when you guys told your story, you were that was when you deconstructed. No, as I've said many times, my deconstruction happened about 10 years ago. For me. I stopped calling myself a Christian in 2013-ish. So that's getting close to a decade of not being a Christian.
That's being close to a decade of not being a Christian. Okay? And he's very clear about it. Listen, this entire Ear Biscuit show that they do, it's a side apart from their Good Mythical Morning they do. This is where they talk about more serious subjects. But again, at the end of the day, there's so much here that there's so much to unpack, to just deconstruct and walk away. And if you listen to this entire 1 hour, it's really going to blow your mind how he embraced different kinds of spiritualism. Embracing the notion that we are one with the earth. Embracing the notion of evolution. It's pretty sad. It's pretty sad. Let me finish playing all the clips. We'll come back and we'll talk about it.
We also shared all of our spiritual backgrounds growing up, our involvement in Camp Crusade for Christ as college students, our involvement as staff members working full time with Crew.
since deconstructing and really deconverting, you know, I didn't just deconstruct, I deconverted. I'm not a Christian anymore, which has been almost a decade for me. I have dabbled in a lot of spiritual things, right? Spiritual in quotes. Just, but that kind, that has all kind of happened outside of any sort of system. You know, I haven't, I didn't oh, I'm gonna see what Buddhism feels like officially. You know, I've read a lot of interesting stuff, and I've read a lot of spiritual writers. I've been really attracted to people who kind of take Western and Eastern philosophies and kind of bridge them, bring them together. It was people like Eckhart Tolle. Like, I've been very encouraged, and there's been some realizations that I've had while reading spiritual writers.
Clips, family. I could seriously go on and on and on. That ear biscuit that you are watching, I believe it's over an hour long. Maybe I might come back to it. I don't know. But to say the least, you heard it. I didn't say it. He said it. And one thing that I want to make sure that everybody understands is that it's really, really easy for us to sit here and pat ourselves on the back and go, whew, we're better than they are. And I would caution each and everybody, each and every person who thinks that way, because it's really, really easy to allow the enemy to get some sense of pride on our salvation, and that's not what the Lord wants. We should never, never look at our salvation, our redemption, and make it puff us up with pride or arrogance, somehow thinking that we're better than somebody else because, well, we just didn't deconstruct. We're just better than them. I'd be very, very careful. And as I was, again, studying and listening and just taking notes, these are just some of the notes that I showed you guys. I've got notes on my iPad, tons of them. And as I was really thinking of how do I deliver this? Lord, how there's so much information. There is so much happening just in this area alone. How do I, Lord, go about sharing it with my family? Sharing it with you guys to the point where it makes sense. And you know what? As always, the Lord just said, just speak. And you know what? That's what I'm doing. I'm just telling you that as I was studying this, my heart really broke. My heart broke. I was grieved. First off, I was grieved at seeing so many people falling by the wayside. Read the parable of the seeds. You guys could do that. Go to the book of Matthew, read it. It's really sad. It's really sad to see so many people having been exposed to the truth and not allowing the truth to truly set them free. Whatever it was, the cares of the world, I don't care. Whatever it was, fill in the blank. If there's one theme that I saw all across all of the different deconstruction stories, again, air quotes, that I saw, there's a common thread. The common thread is I was hurt in church. The church did not fill in the blank, whatever it is. The church didn't come and support me in my time of need. People in the church abused me. People in the church took advantage of me. People in the church ripped me off. People in the church stabbed me in the back. And listen, I know that story firsthand. When we were in Argentina, and I remember my dad was talking to one of the pastors of the church. He was a lay pastor. The guy pulled his coat pocket in the conversation And it's crazy that I remember this so many years now. He's talking to my dad, telling him, they're talking about what's important. And he does this, he reaches in his pocket and he takes out a wad of cash and he does this, says, "Luigi, this is what's important to me. This right here." And he put it away. That was probably 1985, 1986. I understand that the church is made up of imperfect people. I get that. But it seems that through the decades, the church, instead of drawing closer to Christ, the body of Christ, instead of drawing and pushing into the Lord, it seems as if the church has allowed the outside world to become part of the church and therefore fracture the church, and the enemy has totally taken advantage of that. And so when you do have truly hurting people and they come to the place where they should find solace and healing, a place that should be an example of the love of Christ, they find quite the opposite, right? There's a song by DC Talk. And I'm trying to remember what the name is. It goes along, "What if I stumble? What if I fall?" It's on their Jesus Freak album. And there's a quote on it. It opens up. It's a soundbite. And it's, listen, I get it. It's by a, and we'll talk about him. It's by a man, and his name is Brendan Manning. He was a Catholic mystic priest. Wrote a book called The Ragamuffin Gospel, which I do not recommend. Do not recommend. Unfortunately, too many high-profile Christian musicians, including Michael W. Smith, they endorsed it big time. And there's a lot of heresy in it. But he gives a quote in this song, and the song opens up with a soundbite. And this is exactly what the quote says. I'm going to read it verbatim to you guys. He says, quote, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." Now, I'm telling you, if this guy, Brendan Manning, got one thing right, it is that quote. The single cause of atheism in the world today are Christians. Because our sole responsibility in the church is to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. We are to be the salt and light. I have said that a million times, and I will never cease from saying that. Yet within the body of Christ, there is more infighting in the body of Christ than I have even seen in the world. There is more vitriol being thrown between brothers and sisters in Christ over some of the stupidest reasons than we see in the world. You know, and as I was telling you, as I was doing this whole thing, it really broke my heart to hear these stories and to see why all these people and how they deconstructed, they de-churched. They don't call themselves Christians. They are no longer Christians, no longer Christ followers. And 99% of the reasons why all had to do with the church. Now, please, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong when I say, and I think I said this in that little segment that I did before this one, nobody will stand before God Almighty and be able to say, "Lord, let me tell you why I deconstructed with you know, little background music and cool lighting, and that's not going to happen. If you have deconstructed and you stand before God Almighty, the last thing you'll be able to say is, let me tell you, Lord, why I walked away from you. Why I took the sacrifice of your only son, Jesus Christ, and I did what? I trampled all over it. Let me tell you why I questioned everything and I've turned to other religions. Why I turned to evolution as the answer. Why I turn to fill in the blanks. Have we forgotten what Jesus, what God Almighty did? In the Old Testament, God is the groom. Israel is the bride per se. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is the groom. The church is the bride. Have we forgotten what happened all throughout the Old Testament when Israel played the harlot? Was it because of sexual immorality that God judged Israel? No. Though that was part of it. But let me go ahead and say that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that a king having hundreds of wives and hundreds of concubines was not part of God's plan. David had concubines. And if for 1 minute you think that I'm wrong, go also and read the story of what Absalom, his son, did with some of David's concubines, with some of David's, it's concubines, what he did on the roof. It's disgusting. Is that why God judged Israel? No. Every time we see God's hand of judgment upon Israel, it's because they played the harlot. They left God and they went after idols. They went after foreign gods. They prostituted themselves with the gods of other people. They turned their backs on God, and what God had to do was he had to judge them, oftentimes using their enemies as a tool of judgment, to bring them back to God. And it was, again, what? Cyclical. So again, as I'm reading these, as I'm going through these, my heart breaks for these people. Because the church, by and large, sure, there's always going to be some jerk in the church. There's always going to be some wacko in the body of Christ. There's always going to be people that are just a bunch of morons. And they act like idiots. But we got to ignore that. Unfortunately, I think nowadays we have a lot more people playing church, pretending, having what? A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And the result of the kind of God that we have presented to the world is one of a pansy God. Again, I would encourage you to go listen to that 25-minute segment that I did, and I kind of lay it out there a bit, but we have presented the wrong God, the wrong gospel to people for way too long. And so when people don't get rich quick, they go, see ya, I'm out of here. I'm going to go play the lottery. When there's no healing, people say, sayonara, I'm out of here. When we paint this picture of a needy God, and I said this again in that short segment, so forgive me for repeating myself, but I think it's worth repeating. When we paint this picture of this needy, wimpy God who needs us and is all by himself sitting up in heaven just twiddling his thumbs, just waiting for us. Can I just tell everybody right now that the church is greater by far in number, those that have gone on before us in heaven, than those that are alive right now? Think about that. God is not waiting, twiddling his thumbs, Some of these dumb worship songs are just so pathetic. They're so empty. At every church, a lot of churches, they sing them. I hate it when they hear these songs. So ridiculous. And I know I got to chill. I got to calm down. But again, what I see here is I see that there were broken people and now they're more broke than ever. I see kids here that were part of youth groups. And I don't know what they were taught in that church. And they went through college. They became, like Rhett, part. And they worked. Campus Crusade for Christ. What do you think happened to some of these kids that knew who these two dudes were in Campus Crusade for Christ, telling them about Jesus, telling them about the love of Christ, telling them about the eternal attributes of God, now only to find out that these guys have said, you know what? I wash my hands of this, much as Pontius Pilate did. I'm out of here. And pretty much what they said to all the kids they exposed is, hey, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm out of here. Really? What do you think the congregation of Chuck Templeton, Charles Templeton, did? Because he did. Hey, and as honest as he was about it, he went before his congregation and he's a drop in the bucket. Go find out. Go Google pastors that have walked away from Christianity. Chuck Templeton stood in front of the people, the very people that he taught from Scripture. And he said, I no longer believe the things that I taught you. The things that I so fervently searched in Scripture and shared my heart with you guys. Well, guess what? I no longer believe any of that stuff. How do you think that that affected a lot of the people in those congregations, huh? Do you not think that this is a tactic of the enemy, and it is working? Wake up, church. Wake up, folks. Let's seriously take a look and get our heads out of the sand. I had my head way too long in the sand. Not going to say where else I had my head, but I'm sure you guys could figure that one out. And so please, as I talk about these things, as I share more about this, you're going to see where this leads and how it leads others astray, especially when I talk about Lecrae. And Lecrae, the only reason why I'm bringing him up is because, hey, you know what? Like Rhett said, oh, people are going to take this, take sound bites out of the mouth. Hey, look, dude, you're the one. You guys are the ones putting it out in public. You're being open about it. Well, guess what? Hey, you know what? I could talk about it too. But I want you guys to see how deep the rabbit hole goes. When we start making small compromises, they lead to bigger compromises and then bigger compromises and bigger ones. And then what? This is where we end up. I don't know. I don't believe anymore. Did you ever? I don't think so. But what about all the people you affected? You effectively affected. Right? We had to get a couple of, and this is not a rabbit trail. Just follow me on this. We had to get a couple of our washer valves, cold water, hot water valves switched out yesterday. So we had an old washer, very old. And just we had to get it changed because it broke. It was a money pit. I think it was almost 20 years old, 15, 16 years old. The washer. We got good use out of it. She was faithful, that good old washer. But, you know, as always, you order one. We ordered one through Costco, and we got it delivered, and we thought it was just going to be a slam dunk. Cool, just pull the hot, cold water hoses off and have them connect. The new one's done. Well, it wasn't. The cold water hose was almost welded on there because we have hard water and a lot of calcium deposit. Never had the need to pull the hose off, and so when we did pull the hose off, the valve broke. And it's an in-the-wall valve. So we had to have somebody come out. I, I had to go. I went to Home Depot. They didn't have the valves that we needed. You would think they would, right? Hello, Home Depot. You might want to invest in that. And so my boy and me went, love his company. Love my boy. Man, that kid is mature beyond his years. But anyways, guy at Home Depot said, hey, you guys need to go to Reese Plumbing. Okay, cool. Will they have it? Yeah, they'll have it there. So we drove 10, 15 minutes, went to a place called Reese Plumbing. And dude, super nice. Got tats everywhere. Doesn't bother me. Younger guy. Could have been older than 30s maybe, 40s, somewhere around there. And super nice dude. Hey, how could I help you guys? And, you know, he's talking to his coworker and dropping F-bombs and all this. Again, it doesn't bother me. Hope it doesn't bother you guys. Because we don't want to come across as Mr. or Mrs. Holier than thou. Oh, a pox on you for cussing and dropping an F-bomb before somebody is holy as myself. Please don't do that. Don't do that. So anyways, we're sitting there and the guy's helping us out. I'm on the phone. Is this the right one with the plumber? Yeah, no, back and forth. And I hear the guy talking to his coworker and he says something along these lines. At least he's not one of those people that say they love Jesus Christ and act like a bunch of a-holes. That's exactly what he said. And I kind of kept that to myself. Finish the transaction, and they're about to close. I'm going to walk out. And I turn around, I said, hey, bro, yo, dude, I got to tell you something, man. I walk up to him and say, hey, listen, I want you to know that I love Jesus Christ with all my heart, man. But I want you also to know I heard what you said, and I want to thank you for your honesty, dude. I want to thank you for being honest. And he said, yeah, man, you know, I meant what I said. He's all, man, I get people and they come in and they talk a big game, you know, or they act all Christianese, something along these lines. And again, he said they say they love Jesus, but they're a bunch of a-holes and they act like that. And I said, listen, dude. And he was saying, you know, one of my kids is this, one of my kids is dabbling in this other stuff. And I just say, hey, man, if it makes you a better person, I don't care what religion or whatever you're pursuing. Great. That's cool. I just don't understand why we can't all just get along. And I said, look, man, first off, I want to apologize. Because unfortunately, there are a lot of people that talk a big game, but they don't deliver. I said, but at the end of the day, that's not God's fault, man. That's not God's fault. And he was totally cool about it. They were closing up, fist bumped them. And I said, hey, man, have a good one. He's all, yeah, dude, have a good one. Good for talking. And so we had a good conversation on the way home. And I told my boy, I said, you see what happens? I said, now he's not going to have an excuse if on the way home, he has an accident, dies, and is standing before God Almighty and says, you know what? Why I didn't believe in you is because this guy, this girl, that woman, they said they love you, but they acted like a bunch of a-holes. That's not going to fly before God Almighty. Sorry. Is there truth in what he said? Absolutely 100. But at the end of the day, that's not God's fault. And what I see here in all of these deconstructions, supposedly, the common thread is God is paying the price for man's deficiency in being a light and salt for him. For those so-called believers that should be a salt and a light. And I've gone through that, all right? I worked at a mega church, and it really challenged my walk with the Lord. There were times where it just ticked me off to no end, the junk that I saw happening in that church, the hypocrisy. I said, I will never work at a church again, ever. I haven't since. But you know what? I can understand because the stuff I saw makes people It made me want to go, if this is what Christianity is all about, well then, and I'm going to be, listen, I'm going to be frank with you guys. I really said, screw it. Forget it. I'm sharing my heart with you guys. If this is what it's all about, then forget it. And the Lord said, that's what they're about. But your relationship is with me and not with them. And I worked through that with the Lord. Because at the end of the day, it is not God's fault. That sinful man that calls himself a Christ follower acts more like a jerk, turning people off. That is not the Lord's fault. And that is happening way too much. Now, to be fair is fair. What these people are doing in deconstruction, sure, should we pray for them? 100%. But Satan will always take that and will utilize it. Like I said in the very beginning, he will use that in ways that you and I can't imagine. And it is the most dangerous road to traverse. This whole road of deconstruction. Please, if you haven't read Ecclesiastes, go read it. Solomon spared himself nothing. He did everything under the sun. And everything that he did to fulfill his lustly flesh, it was all meaningless. And he came to the conclusion, fear God and follow his commandments. So listen, I didn't get to even a third of the things that I wanted to share with you guys. I'm going to be as real as I can be with you. I don't ever want anybody to go, Pablo said this, and it really made me walk away. I don't ever want that. I've had my struggles. I still do. There are times where I wrestle with the Lord. Jacob wrestled with the Lord. And there are times where I'm like, Lord, I want you to bless me. I'm not going to let you go. There are times I question things. And it's okay to question. You could read the book of Job. Read Psalms, read Ecclesiastes, read Lamentations. Read them. But there are a lot of people that are misrepresenting Christ, and I pray that you and I won't do that. Because we never want anybody to point the finger at us and go, I walked away because that dude right there, that woman right there, they were total jerks. Even though that will not hold any water before God Almighty, I don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody else as to why they deconstructed. So, yeah, I left a lot out. Yes, I'm going to do another part because, again, there are so many directions that this thing can go. There's so many unfortunate, dark, deep caverns that we can traverse and people have. And so, yeah, I want to revisit this. I don't know if it'll be next week. I don't know how I'm going to kick the year off. But we're going to come back to this because there's just so much. But listen, family, please, for those that just pray for them, pray that the Lord would bring them back or that the Holy Spirit would work in them in such a way that just draws so much thirst, they have nothing else to do but come back, that it would take that heart knowledge that a lot of these people have. And listen, fame, money, popularity will blind people. And unfortunately, it will blind them all the way to their eternal damnation. It's a sad thing. So don't ever think yourself higher than anybody else. Pray for them and remember that we are truly examples of Christ. Does that mean you're going to be perfect? No. But I think it's important that when we do stumble and when we do fall, that we acknowledge that first and foremost before God Almighty and second before our fellow man, whoever that is, wife, husband, brother, sister, you guys know who you are. Because I know I blow it. And I don't need to sit here and pretend that I don't, because I do. God knows that. I've said it plenty of times. My wife knows what a stinker I am. Ron knows my heart too. Eric, my brothers, Ken, Phil, Pastor Jason, so many. It's important to have folks that when you go through periods like this, that they can come underneath you and help you and support you. And we do that vice versa. So listen, folks, I don't know how this sat with everybody, but at the end of the day, it's my heart. It really is. And I would just hope and pray that this would encourage you, because it is a sign of the times we're living in. The church has to wane in its influence, because at some point, unfortunately, the baton of the gospel is going to be passed to the 144,000. And they're going to be able to do in 7 years what we were inept, the church was inept to do in over 2,000 years of church history. Imagine that. Imagine the things that the church could have done had they been totally surrendered to Jesus Christ, as 144,000 are going to be. If in 7 years they're going to be able to do what we were incapable of doing in 2,000 years, imagine if the church would have been totally sold out, if the body of Christ would have been totally sold out to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Wow. What a day. What a different world this would look like. But in the meantime, we're still here. And I want to encourage each and every single one of us to go out and make disciples of all men, as the Lord instructed us to do. Be honest. Be forthcoming. Be real. Don't pretend. People could see right through that. Don't put on a facade, please. Just be real, especially with the Lord. He knows. There's no point in hiding it from the Lord. He knows. So listen, family, again, this is the last one of the year. I hope you guys were blessed by it. Sorry if I was too real, air quotes, but that's just me. That's just who I am. What you see is what you get. WYSIWYG, right? For those web designers out there, you know what I'm talking about. When you're using web design programs, WYSIWYGs, what you see is what you get. So with me, what you see is what you get. And I've been told I'm brutally honest. Maybe I'll own it. Lord's refining me. My wife's been a huge tool the Lord's used in refining my delivery. But at the end of the day, there are certain things that it is what it is. You just got to say it. So I do pray that each and every one of you will have a wonderful New Year's Day. I look forward to see what the Lord has in store. Maybe this is the year. Who knows? If it's not, maybe this will be the year where many will come to Jesus Christ. Maybe we'll see a soul harvest in pockets. Who knows? Don't know. But at the end of the day, wherever you're at, wherever God has you, remember to do the work that God has called you to do, and do it as unto him, because we're going to give an account to him. So I hope you guys have a wonderful New Year's. I am looking forward to hanging with all of you guys again. Thank you so much for the prayers. I love each and every one of you guys. It was so, so wonderful to be back again. And I look forward to see what things God has in store for us to talk about. Please write comments below. I do look at them. If I don't write, it's because I just don't have the time to do it. In between all the platforms, in between doing my other work, my job that I actually get paid for, right? I just don't, but I do read the comments. If I can, I will respond to you, but I'd love to hear your heart. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. And please know that I say this from a heart of love. Everything that I shared with you guys, I say it with a heart of love. I say it with a heart of love. Let's be a light to the world. Let's be representatives and ambassadors, true representatives and ambassadors of Jesus Christ to a dying world that so desperately needs it, especially in the year to come. I love you guys. Remember to keep looking up, because who knows, our Lord can come for us at any moment. May the Lord richly bless you guys. See you guys 2024.